Hi, it's Paul Camilos. Welcome to Series 6 of Shooting the Breeze. Join me and my co-host Jacinta Govind alongside the STB crew as we cover women's hoops and women in hoops. We'll share conversations and get a little deeper with inspiring players, amazing coaches, and the legends from behind the scenes. Especially in this series, we'll be talking to dream chasers that give it their all and lead with their heart.
I know people have always told me the first few months are really difficult, but I think like physically, the day I landed, I got here at like 3 p.m. and the girls had practice at 4. So I got here, I went to watch practice. I didn't train yet, but then the next morning we had practice at 6 a.m. and I went to practice at 6 a.m. The coach was like, "Are you ready?" I was like, yep, I'm good. I'll practice.
In this episode, we speak with an emerging young Aussie talent, Lara Chomfai. The youngest member on last year's AIS Centre of Excellence squad, she's ventured across the Pacific to Tampa, Florida, to complete her schooling with the IMG Academy, to challenge herself and, in her words, improve on and off the court, as many elite colleges are already knocking at her door. It's a refreshing insight into a centred and talented young hooper with big, bold dreams that understands the opportunities come with hard work, sacrifice, and love for your sport. We look forward to watching Lara emerge on the world stage from this baptism of fire and realize her dreams. Enjoy. Welcome to Shooting the Breeze. And it's a really interesting episode today. Coming to us all the way from the IMG Academy in Florida, we've got Lara Chomfai. Lara, welcome to the show. Great to have you here.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here. It's like a fangirl moment for me.
Let's just sort of touch on, you know, some of your early stuff. You've represented Australia. How did you get into playing basketball?
Yeah. So my parents never really played sport. They're definitely not the sporty type. I was born in Hungary. So I moved out to Australia when I was 2. Me and my parents, my whole family's back in Hungary though. So I go home really often. But, you know, growing up, I did like dance and gymnastics. I think like every girl does. But I was too tall for them. Like I was a bit too tall, and like all the coaches would just be like, "This isn't the sport for you. Just play another sport. You should definitely reconsider what sport you're playing." So, you know, my mom, she didn't really like me watching TV, like in the holidays when I didn't have school and I wasn't busy. She would always be like, "Nope, like no TV for you. It's either you sit inside, you study, do math, like extra schoolwork, or you go outside because we had a hoop in the backyard." So I would always go outside and play basketball. And that's just kind of how I started playing.
So no TV.
No, she was very on it.
And just so serendipitous that you had a hoop in your backyard. Like, I mean, it could have been anything, a trampoline, a swimming pool, and lucky for us, there was a basketball hoop.
I know. I live next to a church, and they had, like, a full court and a hoop. So, you know, it was luxury.
If you build it, they will come, as they say.
Absolutely. Exactly. So before we really get into sort of driving into a whole lot of interesting stuff, it'd be good to find out from you how you found, you know, playing for the Australian under 16 in the Asia Cup.
Yeah, well, growing up, I never thought I would be able to represent my country. That was always just like a fantasy. But, you know, when I was at my first camp, and then when I found out I made the team, I was over the moon. Like, me and my parents were so happy for me because they knew how much it meant to me. And, you know, that tournament, it was the real deal. It was huge. I don't think I realized how big it was until I got there and I was like, "Oh my goodness, it's actually real." Like it hit me, but it was absolutely insane. Like it definitely wasn't the easiest. In Jordan, obviously in the Middle East, the water's like not good. You're not allowed to drink the water. And I think when I was brushing my teeth, I accidentally must have somehow got some water and I got a stomach infection and I was in hospital pretty much the whole tournament. I was in hospital for 5 out of 7 days.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So it was a huge learning curve for me. Obviously really difficult. I was like watching the games off my phone in hospital on like the IV, like having water and like food put into me. But you know, when I got out, so I was able to play the semi-final and the grand final. And the day before the semi, like, they took me off the IV and they're like, do you think you can play? I was like, yeah, I got it. Like, I'm playing. I played that game against New Zealand, which was really good because New Zealand is very, like, they're very similar to us. Their playing style, and obviously it's really close to Australia. So it wasn't much of a difference playing against them. But then when we played Japan in the grand final, that was the hardest game I've ever played. It was insane.
How did you cope with the preparation for that game against Japan? You know, being in hospital on a drip for 5 days especially is pretty severe. And then to be thrown back into a grand final situation as an elite athlete is quite a 180 turnaround. So what was happening off court for you to help you prepare for the final against Japan?
Yeah, we did a lot of film. We did so much film, and especially for me, just like Coach Tom would bring me out individually and just be like, hey, Lara, like, this is what you missed. This is what went through this game. Like, I was watching them online, but it still isn't the same as being there. But I don't think anything could have prepared me for that game, if I'm being completely honest. That game, it was the biggest shock to me because I hadn't played any of the Asian teams. Like, I hadn't played Philippines, China, nothing leading up to Japan. So I just kind of got thrown in. It was a gold medal game, so it was huge. I was feeling really good before the game, and then halfway through the game, I was like, oh my goodness, they were just everywhere. They were like ants. You could not catch the ball. They were all over you all the time. It was insane. I've never experienced anything like that. But I think if I could do it again, I'd definitely probably do it better. But it was huge, yeah.
Yeah, perhaps sticking to bottled water.
Yeah.
It would be really hard to prepare for a team like Japan, who are notoriously very quick, very organized, and like you said, a very different style of play to what we're used to down in Australia and New Zealand. So, doing things on tape can only teach you so much, I guess.
Exactly. But Tom was incredible. He helped me so much. He really did prepare me. And, you know, it was really difficult for me mentally, just not being able to play, and obviously being sick. It was terrible. I've never really felt like been as sick as I was. He was so supportive, just so supportive. He just kept believing in me. I was like, I don't know if I'll be able to play. And he was like, no, like, I know you're going to play. Like, you're going to get out there. Like, you're going to help us. So yeah, he was incredible.
For the Japanese team, what was the one big thing that you found really different and that really threw you from the way they played?
Well, it was crazy because they didn't have, all of them were the same height, pretty much. Like, there was no height difference. So we went with our starters. We went with like a small starters. So I was the 5 starting, and everyone else was like pretty much a guard. Like, we had 4 guards and me starting. You know, I hadn't really played 5. We had Jade and Zoe and Satea, and it was just like, they're like very true 5s. So like starting, I was like, okay, I got this. Like, I can guard, they're big, it's fine. And she was maybe 5'9". I was like, oh my goodness, okay. And you know, she was bringing the ball down the court. I was like, okay. Yeah, I think probably because, you know, they all play so similar and they're all the same height. You have to match up off numbers. We're running down the court and, you know, it's transitioning really fast. Like, who do I have? And you're looking at the number, and it takes so much more time to look at a person's number than just kind of see them and like who you got, because obviously the height difference. So that was probably the most difficult thing. I've never experienced anything like that.
There'll be a lot of communication, or even more communication required on the defensive end, making sure everyone's got their scouts and who's guarding who. And, because if you take too long on defensive transition against a team like Japan, they're going to run layups in, I imagine.
Exactly. And they were shooting, like, I don't know, if I was to shoot the shots that they were shooting, I'd get benched. I was like, they were shooting weirdest shots, but they were all going in. I was like, what on earth is going on? They shoot with 2 hands. It's crazy.
Yeah, we talk about that action that the Japanese team have with their 3-point shot often. It's just like, I don't know how it works.
It's insane. And they like get away with everything. They were pinching you. They were grabbing you. They were like ants. They were everywhere. Like, I had like pinch marks on my arm from after the game.
Ow.
Yeah. And they got away with everything. It was the toughest game I ever played.
Wow. I wasn't aware of those sneaky tactics. I mean, We've watched quite a few FIBA games in the last 2 years, and the most recent being the Opals Olympic qualifying games in Brazil. And you can tell that, you know, when it's FIBA time, it's a lot more physical, and the referees kind of let the play carry on a lot through the physicality, but you don't see that pinching and singlet grabbing and stuff like that.
Definitely not. That was something I couldn't prepare for. Like in the film and everything, you can't see it. When you're on the court, I was like, oh my goodness, this girl is she's pinching me. She's grabbing my arm. Like this happens.
It sounds to me like it was like a really, really tough game. And obviously their style of play is really physical. And without actually having played them a few times to kind of get a feel of how they're playing, it must be really hard just to sort of step up to someone like that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think like now going into hopefully like Worlds this year and future tournaments, I'll have that experience. But just then not being able to play, like I didn't play Chinese Taipei or the Philippines or anything like that or China. So, you know, I think that would have prepared me a little more.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've definitely learned from it.
Okay, cool. So last year, you're putting up some really big numbers for SA Metro. And since then, you know, you've moved to Florida. My first question on this is, what's the culture shock like going from Adelaide to just outside Tampa, Florida, which is also the side of the part of Florida that nobody ever thinks of, because they're all thinking about there's Miami, there's Orlando, and then there's nothing else, which isn't true. So how did you find that?
Yeah, I think... Oh, I didn't realize it until a few days ago. I was like, oh my goodness, like this is so much has changed in a year. It's insane how much can change in a year. But, you know, when this opportunity came up, like it's something I've always dreamed of. And it's one of my dreams. I was like, of course, like it's obviously really difficult being away from my family. I think because when I was at the AIS, you know, it's the same time zone. I get back home once a month, once every 2 months. But here, you know, I only get to go home once a year. Max. So that's definitely very different. But probably just being around Americans, if I'm being honest, everyone thinks I'm weird with my accent, but it's really weird. Like, I don't understand half the things they said when I first got to America. I landed in Houston and the accent was so strong. I was like, can you please slow down? Like, I can't understand.
Now, I'm really curious. What is the one thing? There must be one thing that you kind of encountered in the States where you kind of go, wow, that is so, so different to home.
Oh my goodness. It's probably the food, if I'm being completely honest. My roommate's probably the best example of this because we're polar opposites. Like, we are polar opposites. We have our shelves in our room and she has the top two shelves and I have the bottom two. And with my snacks that I have in my room, I have, like, my protein bars, like the fruit that I take from the cafeteria, my cashews. I love cashews. I have, like, some veggie chips on there. And she has two full shelves of like candy, anything you've ever, like candy that's you, I've never heard of in my life. Like it's neon.
Oh.
And then she'll have like sugar cookies, muffins, sugar cookie dough. We don't even have an oven. She has the dough. And she'll have like Skittles and M&Ms. And like, it's like two full shelves of stuff. And then my little box of snacks that I have, like it's insane. Definitely not good.
In the times I traveled to the US, we also noticed that access to healthy food, like if you just wanted to go out and get a salad, it was really hard just to get a regular salad that didn't have heaps of like bacon or creamy dressing or some kind of cheeses through it. It's like, I don't want, like, don't fatten up the salad. The point of the salad is not to have that stuff. So access is one thing, and then also quality is the other thing. You don't realize how good we got it at home until you're not there anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Like I've had to go to like a farmer's market on the weekends to get my like protein bars and my, you know, you can't just go to like a Target or a Walmart because they don't really have everything. And I think like here, the salads probably have more bread than a burger. Like it's insane.
I didn't know why bread was a key ingredient in a salad, so there you go.
I know. I'm like, we go to a restaurant, like, can I have no bacon, no bread, no egg, like just the salad and some meat, please.
And they also call those weird, like I've seen a few TikToks where they're like, I'm going to make a whatever salad, and it just ends up being
cubes of jelly in a tin of cream and some fruit that they stir together and then put in the fridge, and they call that a salad. Now, that I don't understand. So if you've got any intel on that over time, can you please let me know?
I will. It's insane. Like, when we're at the cafeteria and we're getting lunch, like, my teammates would just get, like, mac and cheese and, like, some bread. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. It's crazy. I, like, need some chicken. I need some veggies on there. Yeah.
Yeah. I actually don't get mac and cheese, to be really honest.
I don't either.
You know, it's like pasta with cheese soup. It's just not good. Obviously, as you've just said, and food just being one of them, and distance from family, there's obviously, you know, mental and physical adjustments you've got to make because you've moved halfway around the planet. Things are different. Stuff you expect isn't necessarily going to be available. How did you deal with that when you first got there?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely had my first, I think even now, like, just, I know people have always told me the first few months are really difficult, but I think, like, physically, the day I landed, I got here at like 3 p.m. and the girls had practice at 4. So I got here, I went to watch practice. I didn't train yet. But then the next morning we had practice at 6 a.m. and I went to practice at 6 a.m. I was like, the coach was like, are you ready? I was like, yep, I'm good. I'll practice. And yeah, my first, you know, training, it was, I think probably the biggest shock to me was just how physical they are. Even our 5 foot point guard is so strong, like, you wouldn't be able to tell. Like, I think it's just the American and Australian style of play is so different. Like, everyone here is so strong, so agile, so fast. And, you know, rebounding is so difficult back home. Like, I don't think I really ever thought about rebounding as, like, a really big thing. Like, it just always came natural. Like, I would just grab the rebound. And, you know, like, coming here, I have to put all my focus and all my effort into getting one rebound. Like, it's so difficult. And I have, like, it's like a war to get a rebound. It's crazy.
That's how it should be, I reckon.
Yeah, and they're just so physical. Like, I know my first game I played here. So my first game, we played in Atlanta, and a girl bit me. I had bite marks on my arm. Like,
how does that even happen?
I don't even know. After the game, I sent my mom a photo. I was looking at my scratches. I was like, oh, my goodness, I have so many scratches. And then I look, and I was like, that looks like a bite. And I took a photo and I sent it to my mom, and she was like, you just got bitten in a basketball game. It was the biggest shock to me. They were just so physical, and everyone's pushing you. Everyone's grabbing you, like, no fouls. It's another level, really. And our training, we have a no foul rule, so we don't have fouls. And it's like a football game, like, tackling. Oh my goodness, it's insane. But I think, like, definitely physically it's a huge adjustment, and, like, mentally the hardest part has just been being away from my family and the time zones, just because, like, I can't really call them whenever I want. So, you know, I have to, like, it's 2 a.m. like, no, you can't call them, like, you need to just, you know, let it all out, cry now, and then call them in 5 hours when they wake up. You know, it's really difficult, but I think, like, it definitely has made me a stronger person and a stronger basketball player. Like, I think a lot of my teammates back home and girls that I played with would have, like, picked up their stuff and left after the first training. I know for a fact it's definitely making you stronger.
I was going to ask, like, you were mentioning at your team practices how there's the no foul rule and how physical it is. So then when you get into a game situation, is it hard to readjust to playing clean defense, or because that's kind of like the default setting of a basketball player is not to foul, it's an easy adjustment come game time?
Yeah, well, I think coming here, I don't know, I always smile when I play basketball, like it's fun, like it makes me happy. And here it's like it's life or death for the people here. Like, that was my biggest shock. Just, I think that's why the US is so good. It's everything to them. And, you know, it obviously means so much to me, but I have, like, a smiling approach. Like, I love it. It's what I'd love to do. Yeah. So I think in practice, like, when it's so physical at first, I was like, oh my goodness, like, how is this legal? I was like, how is this okay? And then, like, when I got to my first game, I was like, now I completely understand why it's like that. Cause in the game, it's the exact same. The girls are fouling you the same. Like, they're not calling anything. They're cool a bit more than in practice. But, you know, in a game, my team will maybe shoot, we'll get to the line like 5 times maximum. We won't get to the line more because there aren't that many fouls. They let the game go. So that was definitely a shock.
Yeah, I can imagine, because it's technically high school as well, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, I suppose it's a good time for us to kind of ask the question. This is not the traditional pathway that most people take. Why did you decide this pathway was the option for you?
I think, like, growing up, my mom always told me, like, you know, out of your comfort zone is, like, where you're going to be better. And so I've always wanted to be challenged. I loved it back home, but I knew, you know, staying there wasn't going to get me where I wanted to go. And when I got the opportunity to come here, I knew it would be really difficult. And my parents knew it would be really difficult, but it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And I'm just so grateful I got the opportunity to come here. And I think my goal at the end of every day is to I journal and I reflect. I'm like, what did I learn today? Like, how did I improve today? And just every day I want to improve, like, whether it's on or off the court. I want to be a better person, a better basketball player. And, you know, coming here, it's a completely different level. So that's what I wanted. I wanted to be really challenged and to be able to grow and get to where I want to go.
And how did the opportunity to join IMG Academy come about? Because I can't recall a lot of, if any other Australian has actually gone to IMG Academy before for the women's program. So how did it all start for you?
Yeah, I mean, IMG is, it's a huge school. Like, here in the States, it's insane. They obviously really established. The program here is like really established. And so I was at the COE and my coach just was kind of like, oh, like, I have some schools like wanting to talk to you. Like, would you want to explore the options? I was like, yeah, of course, always. So IMG reached out to me, Montvert reached out to me, which is another really, really big program here. And DME reached out to me as well. And I just kind of had some conversations with them. I talked to my parents and, you know, we just kind of decided that IMG was where I wanted to go.
Wow. I didn't realize that even high schools could start approaching COE athletes in that way either. Montvert, I've heard before, because I think Ben Simmons even went there.
Yeah.
For at least a year.
Yeah. But it was just kind of the coach here just knew my coach back home and he was like, oh, like, I've seen your girl. Like, I want her to play for me. And, you know, it just kind of happened through there. But IMG, like, it's very rare to get a scholarship here. Most of the people pay to come here and it's absolutely insane. I think it's like more than $150,000 Australian dollars to board here and come here.
So I'm curious to hear a bit more about the academy, because obviously it's one of these places that a lot of people have not heard of. And in a lot of cases, I don't think they necessarily understand the company that's behind the academy, which is IMG itself.
Yeah. Yeah, well, IMG's it's basically a high school. Like, we play high schools here, but it's, you know, in America, like, it's one of like three or four of these programs. Like I mentioned before, it's like the IMG, DME, like the prep schools basically. And it's kind of, it's like the COE. So they basically, you know, they have 10 spots on their roster, maybe 3 international scholarships that they can give out for. And, you know, so they'll pick and choose who they want from like all around the world. So I have players on my team. Hopefully this year at the World Cup, I'll be playing 4 of my teammates, actually. I have one of my teammates playing for Italy, another one for Canada, Brazil, and America. So there'll be 5 of us from IMG, I hope, which will be really good. So yeah, it's definitely really cool being on a team with so many international players. It's kind of like preparing you for college. It's basically you live on campus, you know, it's college. Like, you go to school here, you practice all morning, you go to school, and then you have training at night. You live at the caf, like, you eat at the cafeteria, the same as college. So it's really good to prepare you for that.
I think you were right in saying live at the caf first. I've spent a lot of time at the cafeteria if I was at IMG or in a college environment, because you guys would be burning, your metabolism would be firing. Plus, I mean, if there's free food, I mean, that's where I'd be.
Exactly. The food here is huge. We have like food trucks on campus. So every night it's a different food truck. Wow. And we have stores here, actually. So we have fast food chains at IMG. So yeah, they just opened up in like our campus center. They have 3 or 4 fast food chains, like big chains in America. And they have a restaurant there. So like you can just go and get like a burger and fries and take it back to your dorm and eat it. It's so weird.
It's like you're living in your own town.
Yeah.
Like, let alone a school. It's like a little town or a little village that you got going on there. It sounds really cool.
It is. Yeah, we drive around in golf carts. The campus is so big. We go everywhere in golf carts. Walking is like, you can't walk. It's huge.
It sounds like it's not just a school, but it's pretty much a self-contained little community. Well, not so little community. Do you get an opportunity to mingle with people from other sports that are at the academy?
Yeah. One of the biggest shocks to me here is that, you know, when I went to a random normal high school, like in Adelaide, like my local high school, that's where I went. So I was always like the basketball player and the athlete. And, you know, all my other friends, like the majority of them didn't play sport. When I was at the COE, like we went to Lake G. So you'd be surrounded by just like, I don't know, like typical like students. And here, basically the school, every single person plays a sport. So the school is on campus and we wear our IMG uniform. And so every person here is an athlete. And that when I was walking down the hallway a few days ago, I was like, oh my goodness, it's crazy. Because you walk into a class and they ask you like, hi, like, what's your name? What sport do you play? And that's so weird to me because, you know, back home, not everyone, like half the people in my class didn't play a sport. So it's crazy.
Do you find that you've got opportunities to go and watch other sports while you're there, or are you just so focused on basketball, you don't get the opportunity to see any of the other sports?
I mean, my roommate and her friends are definitely better at it. They like make time and know the schedule and everything. I'm just usually in the gym, which definitely is something I want to get better at for next year. But, you know, I have heaps of friends from tennis and golf, which is so weird. I never thought I'd be friends with tennis and golf players because I don't know anything about it. But, you know, when we're like, I do strength and conditioning with a lot of them, and a lot of them are in my class. And so I'm kind of talking to them about just how it is like playing that sport because I don't know anything about it. And, you know, especially with tennis, it didn't occur to me how challenging it is and how, you know, your body, like how hard it is on your body. And so just kind of learning from them. And what they're going through is definitely really interesting to me because it's like the world's not just basketball.
So tell me more about, so it sounds like your coach at COE who kind of put this idea of going to IMG Academy forward was supportive of you going.
It wasn't my coach at the COE. It was my coach back home, yeah. So if you find you back home, yeah.
Oh, cool. Okay. Well, at least you still had someone supportive guiding you there. But tell us more about what your day-to-day looks like at the moment with IMG. Because it sounds like you said, it's very much like college, like you'll have practice in the morning and school all day. But in terms of your schooling at the moment, is it equivalent to like year 11 and 12?
Yeah, so I definitely was really curious if the American schooling would be different to Australian. I do think Australian school is a little bit more difficult, just kind of being here. I think that's just like an obvious thing that I've heard from people that go to college here and stuff like that. But we wake up, we have team practice. So we have team weights from 9 to 10, and then we have team training from 10 to 12. And then we go to school. We start school at 1:40. So we go to afternoon school. So different sports go to different schools. So like tennis, what other sports? Like, and I think it's lacrosse, volleyball, like those sports, and boys basketball, they go to morning school. So they start school in the first half of the day. We start school in the second half of the day. So I go to school from 1:40 to 5:20. And then after I'm done with school, so basically it's open gym, but every single person in my team goes to gym. We get extra workouts in. So after school, we go to the gym. And then by the time that's over, I'm just so tired. I get food and I go to sleep. It's a long day. So yeah, but I've really liked getting my like extra practice in the morning before my team weights, just so I can, you know, get through all my workouts in the morning, get them all back to back. And then I'll have the rest of the day to do homework, study. I think that's definitely more productive on my part.
And how does that program compare to the program at COE?
Yeah, I think the program at COE is really similar. I do think both of them are really good for college. What I've heard, both of them are really good for college. But I think the COE program, because we did go to just like a normal school, it was definitely more difficult to, you know, like get ready in time for school, be on time for school. like focus when I'm in school, because I think, you know, when you had training like 20 minutes ago and you're at school now, you're like, oh my God, where am I? Like, it's, you know, I think here having the morning and afternoon school is definitely a lot better. And because our classes are different in America, there's no like doubles classes. So we would have an hour long class and like 2 days I would have a double. So I'd be like a 2 hour class. Here it's just an hour and a half. I think it's like an hour and 20 minutes every lesson that you have. So that's definitely a lot easier. So I'll have like two lessons one day and then three the next. And then just two and three. It's like A and B days. And yeah, I think it's definitely a lot better. Like from a tired perspective, I'm a lot less tired. But I do think the COE was great as well. I really liked our morning trainings. We would have training at 6:30, 7 a.m., you know, straight when you wake up. Obviously, it was really difficult, but I'm a morning person. I like training in the morning. I perform a lot better in the morning. And here, you know, I can sleep until 8, get there at 9, you know, train 10 to 12. Like, it's pretty good, pretty relaxed.
With all of this, what are you focusing on in terms of your basketball goals that, you know, this experience at IMG Academy you hope is going to help you achieve?
You know, my goal in basketball has always just been to inspire people. I know that's, I don't know if you've heard that before, but growing up, I had my people that I looked up to, and I think I looked up to them like as they were people. And I think like having an inspiration, a person that you look up to as a person that you value, and you're like, I want to be like them one day. Like I want to be that for little girls. Like just be like, oh, like I love how she acts. Like I love how she represents herself. I want to play like her one day. Like that's always been my goal. And, you know, getting to the highest level I can, where, you know, I can do that for little girls has always been my goal. So obviously I want to play in the WNBA and in Europe. That's always been my dream. But as long as I'm inspiring girls, I'm happy.
So, I mean, you know that the follow-up question to that one's going to be, who was it that you looked up to?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I do look up, like I've always looked up to like Lauren Jackson, Penny Taylor, like always just the Australian basketball players. But as I've gotten older, I've definitely looked up to my parents a lot. You know, they moved across the world and sacrificed everything for me to have a better life and, you know, to have the opportunity that I have today. So I'm really appreciative of them, and I look up to them a lot. And my coach as well, my coach Joey, I think he is one of the biggest figures in my life, and has, you know, if he came into my life at a point where, you know, I think the universe just needed me to meet him. I was going to quit basketball. I didn't like it. I was not playing. I was, you know, I didn't really enjoy it anymore. And he came into my life at a point where I needed him. And, you know, him and I's relationship is really close, and he's like a father figure to me. He's like family. So I do look up to him a lot, and the way he acts and the way he holds himself and how selfless he is. He will put everything into developing young kids. So I respect that a lot.
What was going on for you at the time when you stopped enjoying that basketball for that period of time? Like, how old were you, and what were some of the circumstances?
I think I was in under 14s. I was getting like a little bit of recognition. Like I was like, I can be good at this. You know, people were telling me I was tall, and I was like, okay, like I think I got a bit of an advantage. You know, I think it's obviously really difficult when you put so much effort into something, and then you're like, you don't get the court time, you're playing for 2 or 3 minutes a game. And, you know, when you're a 12-year-old girl, you're like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, you know, this sucks. But speaking of inspiration, my teammate actually really does inspire me. I have a few teammates in my team here that they might not even get on most games, but they are the hardest workers I know. Like, they will be in the gym at 6 a.m. straight after practice. They'll come shoot with me. We'll be in the gym after school. They'll be there all day, every day. And, you know, they just keep going. And I find that so inspiring, because even if you're not getting rewarded for that, obviously one day it'll pay off. So yeah, I think you just got to keep going. It's so difficult though. And obviously like having Joey there and kind of telling me that, and, you know, he took time out of his day to, you know, come train with me and come improve like my game. So that meant so much to me.
And when you say Joey, any chance it's Joey Wright?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. I didn't realize he still had kind of like invested interest in some of the youth and the talent coming out of Adelaide, given that he, you know, has his own coaching and personal history in Adelaide. It's kind of cool to hear that he's still connected, and especially that he's still supporting the women's game as well, because I know that he had a good relationship with one of our other previous guests, Morgan Yeager. I think he also helped her out, at least getting a DP spot in the Flames a few years ago, and that led to a full-time contract with Townsville. So it's kind of cool to hear that he's still getting involved with the local Adelaide talent in one way or another.
Yeah, Joey is huge. I was shocked when he came out to, because I played with his daughter in a team. So I was in a team with his daughter, and he would come out to our games, and I was like, oh my goodness, that's Joey, right? I was like, oh my goodness. Like, I never thought I would ever talk to him, let alone like build such a close relationship with him. But I'm so excited. He'll be coming on some of my college visits I'm going to take. So I'm so excited about that. That'll mean so much to me, just having him and my family there.
Look, based on some of the stuff I've seen on Instagram, you might have a lot of college visits to attend as well. So when are you actually eligible to start looking at scholarships? Will you be ready for college next year or the year after?
Basically here, we have our years from January to December in Australia, which is a lot better than they do here. They start their year in like August and it goes over to like end of May.
I think it's end of May. Yeah. It always trips me out. Yeah, I didn't understand.
So weird. So I'm still a year 11 here, but I like finished my year 11 year back home. So, you know, I'll start my year 12, like I'll start my senior year in August after our summer break. And I'm eligible to go on visits since January. So I could have started doing my visits since January. But, you know, I obviously wanted to get used to IMG and settle in here. But yeah, I'm only planning on taking, you know, 3 or 4 visits to the schools, just because it's obviously a really long flight for my parents and Joey to come out. And yeah, just my top schools, my favorites.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, I think 3 or 4 sounds very sensible given time restraints and making your decision making easier. But cutting it down to 3 or 4, I imagine, is going to be really hard, because I've seen posts from a lot of top schools like UCLA and possibly Tennessee, maybe even UConn, congratulating you on things. And that's when I was like, hold on, is she already committed? But then I learned that that was just a way of the colleges, I guess, another way of trying to recruit you to the school.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. I know, I get so many messages from like my grandpa, my grandma, and she's like, oh, like, where are you going? Like, are you going to this school? And I was like, no. But yeah, I think it's so cool. Like, when I love getting mail. When I first got mail from school, it was such a shock to me. And, you know, my dad, oh my God, he's the biggest Stanford supporter. My dad loves Stanford. And so they send my dad mail. They send Peter Schumpfei, they send him mail, and he will get it every week and be like, oh my God, Stanford just sent me mail, not Lara. They sent me mail. He gets so happy.
It's like, okay, Dad, we still have to be really impartial when we go on these school visits, okay? We can't book a ticket to Stanford just yet.
I know, I told him, I was like, so these are the schools we're going to visit. He was like, let's go Stanford first. Like, we have to do Stanford first, Lara. Like, you know, like, we got to do Stanford first.
Or we'll just do Stanford last, so you get a chance of seeing all the other schools properly first without having the biased opinion of if you see Stanford first.
I know, that's what I told him. And he was like, because obviously, like, in my family, you know, going to college and graduating university is a huge deal. Like, where I come from, it's huge. And when I first, like, was talking to my grandparents about, you know, Stanford, Columbia, like, Harvard, like, these schools that have, you know, offered me scholarships, and they were just, like, they're just so happy for me. And it makes me so happy, you know, being able to get a degree, and especially from such a great institution like Stanford or Columbia. So, yeah, especially having my dad there on the visits, oh, I think it'll be such a special moment. Yeah.
Well, I think you're definitely going to have to do Stanford last. Otherwise, it'll be, you know, this Columbia place, I'm sorry, it's just not as good as Stanford. Stanford had this, this, and this. They just don't have this. And it'll be the same for Harvard and any other college you go to.
I know. I told him, I was like, we're going Stanford last. It's your school. We'll go last. But yeah, the coaching staff loves my dad. They definitely have a good relationship with him. They're sending him mail every month.
Well, that can be just as important when recruiting anyone. You've got to make sure that the family's on side as well, because, you know, their kid is committing to 4 to 5 years of something very unique and intense. So they want to know that their kid's been looked after.
Exactly, exactly. Obviously, like talking about not going the traditional pathway, I've always wanted to go college. And I think IMG was like the perfect, you know, stepping stone for me to go college. Like the COE is really good in preparing you for college as well. But just the US and Australian game is so different that, you know, when I was thinking about it from like the pros and cons, I was like, if I get to the US in high school and I have, you know, my junior and senior year to adjust how they play here, when I get to college in my freshman year, like I'll be ready for it and I'll be physically prepared and mentally to be able to play. Whereas if I, you know, I finish school in Australia and I get thrown into fire, I'm like, oh my goodness, what is going on? It'll take me a bit to adjust to it for sure.
Yeah, it is really different. And I think obviously doing high school through IMG does give you that extra level of preparation that you wouldn't get going directly to college. But I'm also curious, given, you know, what you're experiencing over there, what do you do apart from basketball and going to the CAF, obviously, for a bit of me time?
I really like to read. I'm a huge book nerd, so I'm usually reading. When we have a day off, I'm always at the pool, tanning or at the beach with my friends. A lot of my teammates, we love the beach, and Florida is such a nice place, so it's always good weather year-round. We're always down at the beach, but I love to draw and I love to paint, but I haven't been able to keep my art supplies here because, you know, obviously traveling from Australia, I can't bring my paints and everything. So I gave them to my roommate down at the COE, and I see she's been using them for a lot of stuff. I love it. She's been putting them to good use. Bonnie, I'm sure you know Bonnie. She's been on an art grind. So,
so there's an important question we got to ask now. Are the beaches in Florida as good as the beaches in Adelaide?
No. No way. No, it is pretty though, because the sand's white and the water's like crystal clear, but I'm a huge adrenaline junkie. So is my dad. And we go cliff jumping, we go jetty jumping, we go jet skiing. Like, I'm sure you guys have seen that, but I'm insane. I went skydiving. It was so fun. So yeah, it definitely doesn't compare. And you know, just like snorkeling and seeing all the fish. Yeah, it's pretty good, but nothing beats Australian beaches.
And do you have a favourite Adelaide beach?
Oh, my God, I do. I do. So I love Port Willunga. I don't know if you guys have heard of that or been there, but it's crystal clear. The reefs are so pretty, so it's perfect to snorkel. You can cliff jump. The sand's white. Like, once I went down and there was a dolphin swimming next to us. It was maybe 5 meters from us. It was the best experience I've ever had. It was crazy. And Second Valley as well, which is in Adelaide. It's like an hour or two from the city, but that's like the best spot to go for cliff jumping. It's like known. It's the best. So yeah, I'm definitely going there when I get back home, even if it's in winter. Put on a suit and go.
Wow. So even in winter, you're going to go there. That says a lot about the beaches.
Yeah, I miss them so much. I think I talk about this every week. I'm like, no, like the beach isn't the same.
I'm curious, have you done the Vegemite thing with any of the people at the IMG Academy that aren't from Australia?
Oh, well, see, the thing is, I don't like Vegemite, so I don't actually bring any Vegemite. So I don't expect them to like it, but knowing their tastes, I think they actually might. They eat some really weird food here.
And what's the weirdest food you've seen somebody eat there?
Oh, my goodness. Probably some of the snacks, like my roommate eats. She'll have, like sour strap warhead, like, ropes, and then, like, she'll eat them with, like, I don't even know, like just some weird, like she'll have mac and cheese and like eat it next to it, like a little like side plate. She'll have some mac and cheese and have like warhead sour ropes and like combine. So weird.
That just sounds so wrong.
It's not real food. It's not even real food. Like,
I don't know, but they're fit. They're athletic. They're fast. I think it has to do something with the food.
Imagine if they had proper nutrition that I'm sure, you know, you were provided and like taught about at the COE as well, about how important nutrition, hydration and sleep is for your athletic performance. Imagine like how much better they could be with the right nutrition on board. Like, so your cells could actually, you know, perform respiration with eating something healthy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, getting really scientific here, but a couple of my friends played Div 1 college and they would say how they were also really healthy, just naturally as people, and obviously looked after themselves as much as possible when they were going through college. And they would always come back home on a visit and just be like, oh, we went out for a pre-game dinner and we had pizza. And then we played and we had to get straight on the bus after a shower, watch the tape on the bus, and we all got a pizza each. And they were just like, I don't want to see a pizza ever again.
It's insane. It's
insane. I was going to ask a bit more about the actual game schedule at the moment. So I know that traditionally college sometimes plays two games a week. Is it the same at the moment with IMG? And what's the furthest you got to travel for an away game at the moment?
Yeah, so one of the biggest shocks to me was how much we travel here. Like basically when I came in the middle of the season. So we went in 3 weeks, we went to Atlanta, New York, and then we traveled to Daytona Beach, we traveled to Miami, we traveled to Orlando. And so we would have some weeks we'd have two games a week. Other weeks when we were traveling to another state, like on a plane, we would only have one. So when we went to New York, we would have a tournament there, which would be a 2 or 3 day tournament. And then we'd come back and then we'd have a few days rest. And then we'd go play an away game in Orlando, which is like a 3 or 4 hour drive. So yeah, we travel so much here, but it's been huge. Like New York's always been a dream of mine to visit and it was absolutely incredible. So I would love to go back there.
Wow. Yeah, I wouldn't have expected that you would have to travel as far as New York. So and I guess it is a cool opportunity to see all those places that you've always wanted to visit too. And how do you feel like you've been performing in the game so far?
You know, playing, like kind of being thrown into it, it was definitely really difficult, like learning all the players and everything. And just because some of the rules are different as well, you know, with the shot clock and some of the backcourt rules. And like when you're shooting three throws, like you're allowed to have six players in there. I was shocked. I thought basketball was the same everywhere, but apparently not. But yeah, you know, I've definitely just like, I just want to improve every single day. And when I came here, I really wanted to earn my way into the starters and just kind of like, because I have, my teammates are incredible. They all play on the national team. They are so good, like so, so good. And, you know, training with them every day has made me so much better. Like, I'm so excited to go home and play against, like, competition I've played against and be like, see how much I've improved. So, yeah, I think I've been performing pretty good. There's definitely so much to learn, though, and so much to improve. So I'm so excited for next year. And, you know, most of my teammates are seniors, so next year's going to be a completely different team. And, you know, there will be a lot more opportunities. So I'm super excited for that.
And what position do they have you in over there? And what are some of the main things they've asked you to focus on, given it's your first season with the academy?
Yeah, they play positionless here, actually, which is really, really shocking because, you know, you see American basketball, like the tall girls, like the tall, fast, like big girls, you know, coming here, like all. So I have two of my teammates can dunk. they bring the ball up. They can guard the point guard. Like, you know, we in practice, I guard the point guard. Like all our bigs guard the point guard. The guards guard the bigs. Like you have to know every position. You have to play every position, which I think is super valuable because when you're playing against a team like that, that can play anywhere and everyone can do everything, it's so difficult to guard. So I'm a wing player. I love playing on the wing. If I have a smaller defender, I'll get in the post. If I have a bigger one, I'll take a full court and become a point guard. But yeah, I've been playing on the wing and mainly in the perimeter. You know, my shots improved so much being here, my threes. Just my confidence with shooting has improved a lot. My coach has been really adamant about me shooting more threes. He's like, you're a shooter, like you got to shoot. So definitely working on that. But yeah, I've definitely been playing on the perimeter, which I've loved. It's been so good.
Awesome.
And then the only other thing, I know we're going to wrap up soon, the only other thing I wanted to clarify was we were talking earlier about you playing for Australia, winning the Under 16 Asia Cup. Just give us a quick recap of what's coming up in terms of the Under 17 team, because I know that the World Cup is on this year. So do you have camps coming up? And yeah, you know, what's the prep looking like?
Yeah, so I think they have a few camps in the lead up to Worlds. I am aiming to get back home for one of the camps. that's definitely the most difficult thing at the moment, is trying to figure out like how I'd be able to get back home, just because like I have school with AAU, like I'm planning to play AAU in the summer. But yeah, I'll be back home for one of the camps, and then I'll be home for a little bit and be able to see my family. And then hopefully we'll be at Worlds. If I can get back home for the camp, then I hope so. I'm so excited. That's always been a dream of mine, playing the World Cup. So I'll be playing my teammates. Remind me.
That's so cool. Lara, I got to say, it's been great talking to you. It's been a lot of fun. We've had a great time. And we can't wait to see how your career develops over the next few years and how things go with the Worlds as well.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I loved it. I'm honored. Like I've always listened to you guys' podcast. I've loved it. It's so surreal that, oh, this is so cool. Thank you guys for having me.
No. It's our pleasure. Yeah. It's been great.
Yeah, the feeling is completely mutual. Like, it's so nice that you are such a loyal listener as well, because, we've been fans of you for a little while, especially when you started at COE, and then feeling is definitely mutual.
Yeah, I love how supportive you guys are of female sports. It means so much. I'm always liking the stories and liking the posts.
Yeah. So good. Definitely doesn't go unnoticed too as well. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
Lara, thanks so much for your time. It's been great. And as I said, we can't wait to see how things go for you over the next few years. We'll be watching very carefully. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you get our latest pod. And we really appreciate if we could get a like and a review so we can extend the reach to more listeners. And don't forget, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.